You would turn in your copy of God's Word to James chapter 1. We'll be in verses 19 and 20 this morning. Again, that is James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And as you turn there, I will lead us in another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now to the ministry of the Word, where your holy Word that you inspired, that you breathed out, will be read aloud and proclaimed and heard. I pray for all who are in attendance here, for those who have put their faith in Christ, I pray that this would be a time that you use your word to encourage them, that you use your word to grow them and to conform them more and more into the likeness of Christ. Where there is any sin in their life, I pray that they would be convicted and led unto repentance. Where there is suffering, I pray that you would speak to them in their suffering and in their struggle and help them to look to Jesus. And help me to help them look to Jesus. For those who are here this morning that have not yet believed in Christ, I pray that seeds would be sown. And if seeds have already been sown, that they would be watered, and that you would bring forth growth. That through the ministry of the word, you would cause them to be born again. That they would place their faith in Christ and follow him the rest of their days. That they would turn from the world and from sin and turn to the light. Lord, particularly with reference to the passage that we are about to read, I pray that we would pay attention to your word. That we would give it the attention that it deserves. That we would give you the attention that you deserve. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James writes, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. As many of you know, I have three wonderful little girls. And my oldest little girl, as soon as she began to be able to speak any word, she all of a sudden could speak in complete sentences. And she always has liked to talk. She's always liked to tell stories. Sometimes they're true. Sometimes they're made up. But she's just always been that way. She's very talkative. And she likes to tell her dad about her day. Almost every day, she wants to tell me what happened, even when I was there the whole time. She wants to tell me about her day. And when she was a little bit younger, she had this habit. If I was distracted, whether it be looking at a phone, looking at my computer, trying to read a book, or anything under the sun, and she was trying to talk to me, she would walk up to me, she would grab my face. And she would turn my face until our eyes met. And then she would begin talking again. My daughter, when she spoke, she wanted to know that I didn't just hear her. Like I didn't just hear the words she was saying. She didn't just want me to be able to regurgitate what she had said to me. She wanted to know that I was paying attention to her. That I was zeroed in, honed in, focused, deliberate, and diligent to know what it is that she was telling me about. She wanted to know, and she wanted me to display that I thought she was important. And the words that she was saying were important. This is true of basically everyone who says anything, right? If we are speaking, we want people to pay attention to us. It's very difficult when you're speaking and people don't even look at you, right? Or look above you, or look around, or look down at their phone. It can be frustrating, discouraging, disheartening. We want people to pay attention when we speak. And God, when He speaks, He desires that all would pay attention. And our God has said a lot, hasn't He? He said a lot in His holy word. He's inspired 66 books that have been compiled into one large book. He has spoken a lot. And every time a preacher gets up and begins to speak in a way that accurately conveys and explains and applies the word of God, God speaks through that man. God still speaks. He is not silent. And how should we respond to that? How should we respond to the word? And James answers this question really in verses 19 through 27. And he comes at it from three different angles, but we're only going to look at one. The big idea this morning is respond to God's word with attention. Respond to God's word with attention. We should not respond to God's word with apathy. We should seek to the best of our ability when the word of God is being read aloud or proclaimed to pay attention. We should try our best. And sometimes it's hard to stay awake. You know who you are. That might mean being prepared when we come and getting a good night's rest before we come. But there are circumstances where that's not able to happen. I would rather you be here and fall asleep than not be here at all. And God is very much the same way, but we should put forth a great deal of effort to pay attention to the word of God. And remember, whenever a preacher, whether it's me, whether it's Chris, whether it's someone else, is preaching in a way that accurately and faithfully explains and applies and illustrates a passage of Scripture, God is at that moment speaking through that person. And you, as His people, should pay attention. Not because it's the mere words of man that are being conveyed, but it is the very word of God. So respond to God's word with attention. And there are three ways from this text that we do that. So number one, respond to God's word with attention by straining your ears. By straining your ears. Look at verse 19, the first part of it. He says, "Know this." And then he's going to explain what this is in a moment. "My beloved brothers." Pause there. Who is James writing to? He is writing to believers. He is writing to the household of faith. He is writing to the family of God. And he desperately wants to know every believer who will encounter his letter. And believer, if you're in this room, that would include you. He wants them to know something. And we have to remember the context here. Verse 18, look there real briefly. He says, "Of His own will," of God's own will, "He brought us forth by the word, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." And then if you jump over to verse 22 of chapter 1, look there, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the reason I read both of those verses is to kind of set up the context, because when we read verse 19 and 20, there is no mention of the word of God, is there? It doesn't say, let everyone be quick to hear the word, slow to speak the word, and slow to anger in response to the word. But given the context, that's what it means. The word is the context. The response to the word, to God's word, is what is being talked about. And the first instruction or command that he gives, continue now again in verse 19, is let every person be quick to hear. Notice he doesn't just say, let some people be quick to hear. He says, let every person be quick to hear. Now, we can bring up an illustration of kids again. You know when your kid's being slow to hear, right? When you say their name and they don't respond the first time. You say it again, they don't respond the second time. You say it a third time and they still don't respond. You physically get in front of them and grab them, maybe. Not abusively, but with love, but firmly. And then you say it, and finally they're looking at you and they hear you. That's being slow to hear. And we can respond that way to God. I'm sure many of you have heard many sermons. Many sermons. I've only been here about 6 years, and I've preached upwards of, what would that be? Almost 800 or 900. Maybe more like 1,000 to you. And some of those sermons have covered the same topic. They've covered the same subject from a different angle. And sometimes you didn't hear it the first time. Sometimes you didn't hear it the second. And let me be honest, sometimes I'm the one preaching it and I didn't hear it the first time. But we aren't called to be that way. We are called to be quick to hear. Meaning when we gather together, we must be ready and prepared. We must come wanting and expecting to hear the word of God. We should be discontent if we come to a church service and the word is not preached. That should upset us. We should come mainly. That should be one of the main reasons we come, is to hear the word of God rightly divided and applied. We must be quick to hear. And James, if you study the book, you'll find that he's saturated in Old Testament literature, and particularly wisdom literature. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, Solomon writes, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying it would be better if the people of God come to the house of God to listen than if they were to bring the Old Testament sacrifices. God wants them foremostly to hear his word. He wants them to listen to the word. If they bring all the sacrifices in the world and yet they do not have a heart and a desire to hear God's word, all the sacrifices they offer are done in vain. They must be quick to hear. But James not only draws from the Old Testament, he also draws from the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 through 28, Jesus writes, or says rather, he said these things, or as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. And he goes on to say, and keep it. Now we will focus on the second part of that exhortation and keep it in a later sermon. But notice, blessed are those who hear the word of God. The word of God preeminently comes through the mechanism to God's people by the way of verbal proclamation. The primary means of grace, the primary means that God uses to save the unconverted, as well as the primary means that God uses to grow the converted, is the verbal proclamation of His word. And there are a number of reasons why I know this. Not once in Scripture are we commanded to read the Bible privately. Not once. Is it a good thing to read the Word of God in our homes? Of course it is. It's not bad, but not once is it commanded. But on numerous occasions, we are commanded to hear it. To hear it. In Revelation chapter 1, John, in his apocalypse, he said, "Blessed are those who read and hear the word." And the idea of reading it there is in public. Read and hear in public. Blessed are those who read and hear it. When Paul is giving encouragement to Timothy, he makes sure to encourage him that in the churches where he serves, that they would be devoted to the public reading, and it's implied, preaching of God's word. So though it is a blessing to be able to read the Bible on our own, and indeed those who have much, of much will be expected, and God in His providence has blessed many of us with the ability to read, and we should not waste that. What better book is there to read in private than the very Word of God? But let's never use that as an excuse to neglect the preaching and the public hearing of God's Word. And one reason, another reason, we need to factor this in. A majority of people until modern times could not read. They couldn't. They couldn't read on their own. And yet there were Christians, faithful Christians, good, godly people who were illiterate. And how did that happen? It happened through the preaching of the word and through their being quick to hear it. And as David writes in Psalm chapter 1, not only did they hear the word on Sunday, but the word that they would hear on the Lord's day, they would take with them and meditate on it day and night. And God would use that word, even after it had already been preached, He would use that word to encourage, to build up, to strengthen, and to grow His people. So we must be quick to hear. We must strain our ears. There's a sense of urgency here. When we gather together on the Lord's day, we are entering the spiritual battle. There are so many things going on that we do not see. There is a spiritual war, spiritual powers at work and battling. And we, when we gather together, we enter into that war. And the forces of evil, they desire that you would ignore the word. They desire that you would not hear it, that you would be slow to hear, that you would not strain your ears towards it, but rather that it would go in one ear and out the other. But thankfully, God has given us His Spirit. The Word doesn't work on its own. The preacher does not work on his own. No, the Holy Spirit has a role in this process. The Spirit goes out with the Word and He penetrates minds and hearts. And the same Word that brings death to some, it brings life to others. What is the aroma and the stench of death is the aroma of life to those who are being saved. So believer, be quick to hear. Strain your ears to hear the Word of God. When you come on the Lord's Day, or any time we have a ministry at the church, you should have at least one expectation. You probably can have other ones too, but one you must have is that at some point, and perhaps a prominent point, you will hear the word. You will hear it proclaimed. You will hear it taught. You will hear it applied. I guess I should ask you, are you quick to hear? Even this morning, last week, when we came together, were you quick to hear? Or perhaps we could go back even longer when we were talking about the seven deadly sins, something I'm sure we all enjoyed hearing about. Were you quick to hear? Oftentimes, and we'll get focus on this a little bit more in the third point, sometimes when a text or a preacher deals with sin in our lives, it makes us upset. Or we just want to ignore it. Or rather, what we often do is we think, you know, someone here probably really needed to hear that, implying that we weren't the ones that needed to hear it. Are you quick to hear? When you're listening to the sermon, are you thinking, boy, so-and-so really needed to hear this? Or rather, are you hearing, man, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. And that can come in different forms. It can come in the way of encouragement. Sometimes you need to hear encouragement. A preacher should strive to encourage people. That should be my desire. That should be my intent. To bring at least some encouragement. Sometimes encouragement's positive, and I encourage you to do something, or I commend you for doing something well. Sometimes encouragement's negative, and I say, you probably shouldn't be doing something. Or we could do something better. But let me say this. I do want to commend you. Vista Baptist Church, ever since I've been here, when we gather together, you want to hear the word. You do. It's the kind of preachers you want to bring. Ones that preach the word. In reality, you are very easy. When it comes to the preaching, you are a very easy church to please. Because as long as the word is preached, you're at least remotely happy. You might be convicted by it, but you're happy that the word was preached. That's what you want. And that's a good thing. That's a sign that God is at work in here. He is at work in your soul. He is at work in your life. So praise be to him. And thank you for gathering each week to hear the word. So know this. If you are a member of this church, and I say, are you quick to hear? If you were to ask me whether or not I thought you were quick to hear, my answer is probably going to be yes. Because you are. Sometimes you might be quicker to hear than others. The same is true for me. And we always have room to grow. But I can say that we are definitely on our way. We are on the way of the Lord, and he is growing us. We are quick to hear. Maybe you aren't being so quick to hear. It's never too late to start. You can start today. You can start this morning. Maybe you were being quick to hear and you have backslidden. Don't lose hope, believer. Even if you're backslidden, you aren't without hope. Jesus is still alive. He is still the Savior. His word is still true. His salvation is still perfect. His Spirit can still work in you. Confess your sin. Confess your slowness of hearing and turn and hear quickly again. Strain your ears. Respond to God's word with attention by straining your ears. Number two, respond to God's word with attention by shutting your mouths. By shutting your mouths. Or perhaps we might just say slowing down your mouth. He says in the very next line, or the very next clause, after saying quick to hear, he says, let every person be slow to speak. So not only should we be quick to hear, we should be slow to speak. And again, this is generally true, right? In any conversation, any person that we're talking to, These principles apply. We should be quick to listen. We should be slow to speak. But again, the context here is mainly referring to God's word. It doesn't say, don't ever speak. And thus, the main application, the main thrust of this text is dealing with those who would preach and teach and proclaim the word. We should not be hasty and quick to speak on behalf of God. We should not be quick and hasty to make bold pronouncements without careful prayer and study. Pastors must watch what they say. James will later say in this very same book that teachers must be careful, for they will be judged more harshly. And James is just simply applying the point that he raises here. So how does that apply to everyone else? Let's say you don't teach the word. Well, you should desire and encourage your pastors to study the word carefully before they preach it. You shouldn't want them, generally speaking, now there are circumstances where this might be excusable. You should not want your pastor to begin preparing his sermon late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. You're like, do pastors do that? Some do. Some don't prepare at all. They just come up here and they wing it. That's not the kind of preachers that you should want. You should desire men who carefully study the word. Moreover, some of you do have some teaching capacity in the church. Some of you are Sunday school teachers. Some of you are teen kid teachers. You are speaking the word to those children. You are teaching and facilitating discussion around the world or the word to those who are gathered in your classroom. Don't wing it. Again, it might have been a rough week. There might be some excusable circumstances. I'm talking generally speaking. Be prepared. Pray. Study. If you don't understand something, God in His grace has provided you with two pastors. He's provided you with deacons. He's provided you with many other people in this church who have been studying the word for as long as you or perhaps longer than you. Don't be afraid to ask. I don't know what this means. I don't know how to apply this. It's better to ask than to teach something that is untrue or to preach something that is unfaithful. So if you are a teacher, be slow to speak. Before you speak, make sure you have listened to what God is actually saying in His word. Study the context. Study the immediate context, what immediately is before it, what immediately is after it. Study the whole Bible context, because every single passage of Scripture has something to bear on every individual passage of Scripture. It is all written by the same Spirit. Be very careful if you are going to speak the word. Make sure you are ready to speak the truth. And on the flip side, sometimes you may misspeak. Sometimes you may say something that is inaccurate, that is unclear. As a preacher, I've learned one thing can be very clear to a lot of people and very unclear to someone else. It's difficult. If you get something wrong, own it. Apologize. And seek to be faithful. Seek to improve in your understanding. Seek to grow. I mean, really what this is calling us to, both being quick to hear and slow to speak, it's calling us to be humble as it relates to the Word of God. Be slow to speak. Find it ironic that in social media, many people who do not profess to be unbelievers seem to really think they have a good grasp of what Jesus and the Bible teaches. They'll always bombard Christians and say, well, Jesus wouldn't have you do that. Jesus says, judge not. So don't judge. But is that what Jesus is actually saying there? Does he just say, judge not, and then say nothing afterwards? He says, judge not, lest you be judged by the standard with which you judge. He's not saying don't ever make a judgment. He's saying don't be a hypocrite. That's what he's saying. Don't be a hypocrite when you make a judgment. We all have to make judgments. In fact, anytime you hear the word of God preached, guess what? You are expected to make a judgment, aren't you? Is this word true or is it false? Indeed, it is true. Thank you, Cord. The word of God is true. Let us be quick to hear and slow to speak. Respond to God's word with attention by straining your ears and slowing down or shutting your mouth. Sometimes it's appropriate just to keep your mouth shut. The third point, respond to God's word with attention by stifling your anger. He says at the end of verse 19, let every person be slow to anger. And again, the context here is the word of God. Would God say anything that would make someone angry? He would. Because God speaks as God. And if God is speaking as God, he is implying that you're not God. You're not on the throne. You do not belong to yourself. You are not perfect. You need help. You need him. You are a sinner. And you are worthy of judgment. God's judgment. And his judgment is eternal and is just. God, in his word, may poke at specific sins and struggles in your life. He might. In fact, I guarantee you, if you read enough of the word, if you hear enough of it preached, there's going to be a time where you will be pricked by it. As one preacher said, if you can't say amen, you should say, ouch. Sometimes the word of God stings. We should not respond to it with anger when it does. Some of you have voiced before when I've preached on something, Jimmy, did you know this was going on in my life? Did you know I was struggling with this? The answer almost is undoubtedly, no, I had no idea until you told me. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't believe in that stuff. But you know who does know? God knows. Maybe a sermon upsets you, not because the preacher is being mean. That does happen sometimes. The preacher is being a bully. That can happen, but perhaps it's because you're in sin and you need to be corrected. None of us in this room are above God's correction. Not one of us. So whenever the word of God comes against something that you are struggling with, when you think that it's speaking to you, you think that the preacher, the word of God, is singling you out, maybe it is. Maybe you need that. Maybe you need to be singled out by God. Maybe you need to have your toes stomped on a little bit. Maybe you need to be corrected, reproved. In fact, I know sometimes you need it because all of us need it. So whenever you are being corrected, whenever the word of God is striking you, don't respond with anger. Don't respond with anger at the word of God. And he says why in verse 20. He says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If you respond to God's word with anger, you will not walk in righteousness. You will not walk in godliness. There are times where anger is appropriate, but we should never be angry at God's word. Paul in Ephesians tells us to be angry and not sin. And thus, there are good reasons to be angry. We should be angry when someone lies. We should be angry at war and murder and theft. We should be angry when children are harmed. That should make us angry. But we should never be angry at God's word. That doesn't mean you're not angry at God's word, but we shouldn't be angry at God's word. That is never the correct response. Because if you are angry at God's word, you are hardening yourself to it. You are hardening yourself to correction. You are hardening yourself to growth. And you are just continuing down the hill to backslide down to where you once formerly were. Do not be angry with the word. To be a little bit selfish, do not shoot the messenger either. As long as someone is faithfully preaching the word, even if you don't like what you're hearing necessarily, as long as the word is being rightly divided, do not be angry about it. Instead, when the word is preached, we should rejoice. Because there are many, many who just preach to itch the ears of their audience. Many who just tell people what they want to hear. Many preachers will capitulate to the culture, and they will call evil good and good evil. They will tell people what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. Let us not be a church that gathers such preachers. Let us be a church that rejoices in truth, that delights to hear the truth. And even when the word of God, when the preaching of God's word rubs against some of our sins, rather than being angry, perhaps we should repent and then rejoice. Repent and rejoice. You know, my blessed oldest daughter, she rightfully wants her daddy to listen to her when she speaks. So much so that if she is not satisfied with my listening, she will move my face until I look her straight in the eyes. We all want people to pay attention to us when we speak. How much more should we pay attention to our God? How much more? God may not literally grab your face, but he has a way to get your attention. God is in control of all things. He disciplines those whom he loves. If you are one of his and you are not being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, he will one day get your attention. But rather than waiting until that day, pay attention to him now. Respond to God's word with attention by straining your ears, shutting your mouth, and stifling your anger. God's word is preached here every Lord's Day. And it will continue to be. It will. It will continue to be so long as I'm here. And I trust that as our church continues throughout the generations, it will continue even after me. But let us make sure that it remains so. Respond to God's word with attention. Now again, James speaks mostly to believers, correct? He calls them brothers. Christian, make sure you pay attention to God's word. Vista Baptist Church, Make sure we pay attention to God's word together, that we focus on it, that we treasure it, that we esteem its proclamation and those who proclaim it faithfully. But unbeliever, the word of God, the incarnate word of God, which the written word of God is about, only he can save you. Only he can give you a new heart. Only he can transfer you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Unbeliever, do not close your ears this morning. Do not ignore the word. Do not be so prideful to think that you do not need God's word and you do not need God's son. Because you do. If you die without Christ, your eternity will not be pleasant. You will suffer for every single one of your sins for all eternity. In the lake of fire, which has smoke that goes up forever and ever and ever, in a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can speak on behalf of the whole congregation. We who have believed in Christ, unbeliever, do not want you to spend your eternity in such a way. We want you to know Christ. We want you to know his salvation. We want you to know that you do not have to better yourself before you can come to Jesus. We want you to know that Jesus is able to save you. If you come to him in faith, he will save you just as you are. And he every day will make you better. And one day when he returns, he will make you perfect just as he is perfect. So unbeliever, hear God's word today with attention. Trust in Jesus. May God, in his grace, help us all to hear his word with attention. Let's pray.